He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's November, it's SNU time.
Absolutely, daylight savings time.
Anything special on your mind today?
Oh, there's always something special on my mind, but what we're going to talk about is what's cooking.
What right? is cooking?
What's cooking is flank steak. I've really become to like flank steak as Sheila, my girlfriend in Toronto, has made it for me a couple of times, and I've never really tried flank steak. I haven't got a great recipe for it. But also, flank steak is also called the London broil. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
There you go. It's a leaner, flat, boneless cut from the flank section. So it's just below the loin and the sirloin. So it's the section of flesh on the body of a person or an animal between the last rib and the hip.
I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that I used to work in a meatpacking plant?
Yeah, I knew that.
They used to hack up chunks and sides of beef.
Yeah, that's lovely.
But I knew where the flank was. I used to cut the flank off, and I used to get out the sirloin tip. And we used to dip that flank in our hot water tanks and eat that all day long. We knew that the flank was really, really good. And, of course, bodybuilders all over the world know about flank steak, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it's a little lesser in fat. It's about 57% fat compared to sirloin, which is 70% fat. So it's still...
It is leaner, but you know what? In a wild animal, it's much, much leaner than 57%, which is still too high for my liking.
Right.
If you want to get lean, you got to eat lean, right?
Okay, so you're saying to me that you don't want me to make flank steak? Is that what you're trying to say?
I do. It's just that it's unfortunate that we have access to such fat animals.
Just kidding. But properly marinated, it's a wonderful steak to grill or to broil. But you don't want to overcook it because it'll become very tough. It should be taken off the heat when it's rare or medium rare, since it will continue to cook after it's removed. So you want to let it sit for about 7 to 10 minutes to preserve the juices. Before you serve it, you want to cut it into thin slices at a slant against the grain.
You're talking about flank steak or wives in general here?
Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I think you think you're a comedian or something like that. Okay, so what she used for the marinade was she put the whole steak into one of those Ziploc bags, and she put about a cup of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and a half a cup of tamari or soy or even Bragg's sauce would be good, about a quarter of a cup of vinegar, and about 3 fresh garlic cloves. So I would put way more garlic in it, of course, and a huge chunk of fresh ginger.
What did you say last night to Ruby about onions?
Oh, onions are the queen and garlic is king.
There you go. So garlic is the king, isn't it?
With a little bit of Celtic sea salt and some fresh ground pepper, and you leave it to marinate flat for 24 hours. And then what she does is she puts it on the barbecue, just on a high barbecue heat, just for 5 minutes on each side. And then you leave it sit, and it is just absolutely delicious with a beautiful big green salad.
And of course, what's the best way to eat our steak?
We eat it rare.
Rare. And what happens when it is cooked to a point of, say, being medium well?
Are you, is this the 20 questions or what?
No, but I'm talking about the denaturing effect of protein. A lot of people eat their meat well done, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people eat their meat well done.
And those amino acids are denatured. The heat labile nutrients are destroyed. The enzymes are shot. It's just not a good way to eat meat, is it?
No, I used to eat mine well done, but it was too chewy.
So my theme is, if you can't eat it rare or max medium rare, don't eat it.
Exactly.
Because it'll do your body a lot of injustice.
Yeah. And if you get a really good cut of meat too, it'll be nice and tender. But the marinade, this is the key to flank steak, is it must be marinated.
Because it's relatively lean, and so it's tough, and it needs to be softened up.
Absolutely. That's right.
For people like you that
like
to have a soft chew.
You can marinate me once in a while. It might do you some good.
That's what I was talking about. Marination. Then we slice and dice.
Right.
It's all about my benefit there.
Yes, I know.
Okay,
so. It's all about you.
That is information about the flank, and that was good information, dear.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Okay, so let's move on to our next topic. Last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Dr. Jose Antonio. He's a PhD and a CEO of the ISSN, which is the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Well, it was interesting because Jose talked about the difference between sports nutrition and sports medicine.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Remember you asked me that last night. So. What's the difference? And I said sports medicine.
I can even answer that.
Good, good, good.
The difference between sports medicine and sports nutrition. Sports medicine uses drugs to treat an injury, whereas sports nutrition uses nutrition to feed the body.
Good one.
Pretty good, huh?
Good one.
You learn something new every day.
Right. So when you think medicine, think drugs. When you think sports nutrition, think food.
Food and
natural food preferably.
Products.
Absolutely. And the supplements.
And you know, they really work too, those sports nutrition products, because I did a hardcore leg workout at a brand new gym and I feel my butt and my thighs are sore today, but not as sore as they would be if I didn't take those.
I know. I was squeezing them last night. You
no,
were going,
would
you? Ooh.
Okay. Enough of that. No. Let's move on. Okay, so Jose also is a strong advocate of creatine. And he says that it doesn't always work for everybody, but at least 70% of people. Yet no one should degrade creatine, as there's been many studies to show its accreditation.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what he said too? He said, I'll be point blank. If you don't see the value of creatine, you are a moron.
Yeah, he did say
that. Right? Now, this guy's a PhD. His PhD is in exercise physiology, and we're talking about the credentials that you're equipped with by going through conventional medical university training. So he's got that. And he's saying to everyone out there in his conventional field, if you stand up against the research, you are a moron. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty flat out.
That's talking your language, right?
Absolutely. I love it. And it's true. I had a guy in a seminar who questioned the value of creatine and said, there's no evidence, there's no science. And everybody in the room just looked at him and say, where have you been sleeping for the last 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it is true that not everybody gets exactly the same benefit. And what I liked also is we talked about the different forms of creatine and the fact that he's big on it, that he uses it himself, and that it has a lot of value.
Well, it works for me.
Vertical jump height, strength, speed, 70%. Even stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely creatine is on the map. And he's a mover and a shaker in terms of the ISSN. This is a new society of sports nutrition. They're going to start offering degrees in it. And he talked about how it's moving forward in other countries, including China. So that was really good.
That sure was.
Good, good, good. Okay, so who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Andre Potvin, a friend of ours. Andre has 20 years of leadership experience with 11 years specializing in exercise and cardiac rehabilitation. He acquired his Master of Science degree at UBC and instructed in the UBC School of Human Kinetics for 4 years. He's got degrees. He is a recognized BCRPA trainer of leaders and is a member of both the BCRPA personal training and strength training subcommittees. He holds lots of certifications and he's a good friend of ours. And actually, before I even knew you, Corey, when I owned the gym, I took my fitness knowledge course from him. And he was wonderful. He was a lot of fun. He had a great sense of humor. I really, really enjoyed him.
Well, of course, he created InfoFit. And for those of you who want to go to that site, infofit.net, but he offers courses for personal trainers. He actually brought me in at one time to give my spiel on sports nutrition. And I discovered that a lot of personal trainers have been influenced, I think, incorrectly into thinking that they're not allowed to give information or advice on nutrition.
Right.
And that they'll become liable for insurance concerns, which is not true whatsoever. I tell personal trainers, you have as much right to tell people about nutrition and design diets as anyone else in a health food store.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't treat disease using that information, which steps across the medical line, you can tell people about health and nutrition and incorporate the two. It's absolutely
essential to mix the
two. Well, that's
what I do. I just share my personal story with people, you know, because I used to have a lot of health problems.
What do you mean you used to?
I used to, years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Till I met you.
Right. And now you're reborn.
I'm born again, folks.
So, and Andre leads by example. He's an ectomorph that put muscle on his body because he knows how to train. He teaches the information that he applies himself, which I really respect in any leader, in any teacher.
Right.
Living by example, teaching by example, walking the walk.
That's what you got to do.
Talking the talk. So we're looking forward to a great interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
At least I am. Okay. So let's get into your hot topic.
Well, I think it's very important. And my hot topic today is social skills, which I think that we I hope I'm not, but I think I see this in children and a lot of adults really lack social skills. And you know, it's a
excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, thanks for telling me. Thanks for sharing.
Is that how we do it? Is that the proper way to announce the fact that you have to go to the washroom?
You say excuse me, but just excuse me.
Excuse me.
Excuse me for
you don't
a
have to tell people that you're
excuse
going to
excuse me, but I have to go pee. That's
not
what I do.
That's not good social skill.
Well, it depends on who you're around.
Because you're the big one on etiquette, right?
I know.
And protocol.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I always use it all the time. But I've just found that even people that we work with, people who are CEOs, big leaders in firms, just really don't have any social skills. And social skills are living, you want to live together within communities. This is what social is. Relating to communal living, relating to human society and its modes of organization. And skills is an art, a trade, or a technique, particularly one requiring use of the hands or the body. So when you come in with social skills, it's about like how you want to get eye contact, how you want to stand up when someone comes in the room, depending on who it is, how you handshake, you know, just basic skills.
Hey, baby, let me show you my social skills.
Yeah, anyway, good manners on the telephone. The one thing, I saw the show on Oprah one time, and this expert was on there, and she was talking about cell telephones. Well, I really cannot stand it when I'm sitting on a SkyTrain or where I'm just next to somebody in a restaurant, and they've got their cell phone on, and they're talking, and I can hear every word that they're saying. They might be having a fight with their partner, or they might be doing a business deal, and I just think it's really rude. You know, I think there's a time and a place for a cell phone. But I think children need to learn table manners. Proper table manners is very, very important.
What, like sitting down with the king and queen in England?
No, I know you get on me about
social mannerism.
This, but I think it's...
I like the Polynesian style, the family bowl. Everyone just sticks their hands in and grabs the fish.
But that's acceptable in their culture.
Exactly.
Now, at you know...
The culture of what?
So, you know, we'll be sitting around our table and there's, you know, the couple of you... I shouldn't really be talking about this, but, you know, it can get a little bit obnoxious.
Well, she did reach across the table the other day.
Reach across the table. She'll burp at the table, spit out food at the table. I mean, really lovely at our house at dinner time. But I'm saying, you know, if you went to someone's house, would you behave like that? She goes, no, Mom, I'd be on my best behavior. And I said, well, why do you do that in front of me? She says, well, you're my mom. Well, I want to have nice table manners. I think it's important that children know how to say please and thank you and how to use their knife and fork and how to, you know, be respectful.
Well, what about insects? They display organization and social skills, don't they? Don't they walk in a straight line?
I guess.
I mean, we've got pets and you can see how they function and interact with each other. We introduced a new family member into our home the other day. Ruby bought a new rat.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And when
yes.
we introduced that new rat into the cage... The other rat became immediately concerned about like who's coming into my environment. There's a territorial defense mechanism. And then the younger rat exposed her belly and they had to go through this whole ritual.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that that goes on too with humans, isn't there?
Yes.
With social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
the new person comes into the workplace
right.
and they're introduced. Hello, why don't you try introducing someone that comes into the plant or the job to the other people?
We've been in situations like that before, haven't we?
Why don't you give them a job description that's written down? Why don't you tell people what's expected of them before they start working?
We'll be with a big CEO of a company. We'll walk in and they won't introduce us to anybody. They'll be drinking a cup of coffee or something like that and they wouldn't even give us a drink of water or anything like that.
So
remember that?
Can you learn this in university? Is this something that's taught in university? Social skills?
Well, I guess I don't know. I've never been to university.
Because if that was true, why do these PhDs, why do these CEOs, why do these all these people with all these degrees, why don't they have the social skills that are, to me and you, very basic?
Well, I think you're supposed to learn your social skills at home from your parents, but then let's take a look.
So where do they learn them from?
They're supposed to learn them from their
by
parents.
By osmosis,
well.
From society, from their parents, from the culture. Right? Like
right.
sometimes maybe ethnic origin differences in social
exactly.
interaction.
Exactly. I was just going to say that we have a multicultural society now. So everybody has different ways that they
So we can't necessarily condemn
themselves.
How other people function.
No, but I think if you're coming into Canada, I think that you should abide by certain rules. I'm a real stickler on that. You know, because I take the bus. Okay, let's say I take a bus. They'll be pushing and knocking me out of the way and I'm the first one in line. And I just find it I just can't stand intolerance and people being rude. I just don't like rude people.
Yeah, but that should apply anywhere on the planet, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right,
yeah.
Not just on
Absolutely.
A bus in Canada, but anywhere on the planet. Yeah. There's a certain standard of how to treat other people.
Well, even in the gym.
Absolutely.
The gym etiquette,
Oh, incredible.
It's just terrible. sometimes.
Guys,
not all the time.
The takeover machines.
Yeah, and they think they own it. Then they sweat all over it, and then they, you know, and then they get mad at you if you say how many more sets do you have to do. They growl and bark at you, you know.
Well, I like to leave my sweat on a machine. Therefore, no one else will go near it.
That's
it's kind of like how a dog pees on a, you know, a section of a bench.
Or how about what I find really funny is when somebody coughs or sneezes on the telephone. Coughing and sneezing on a telephone. And also, too, if somebody phones you or emails you, just if you don't have time to, you know, to return the call or whatever, just leave a quick, just a brief,
that's a
quick,
big one.
Brief message. I find in our industry, nobody gets back to you. And
it's a way of putting people off.
Well, you think they owed you money or something like that. You know, when somebody owes you money, they ignore you.
Speaking of which, you do owe me 20 bucks.
Yeah, I do, don't I? So make, just try to communicate. It's not gonna kill you. You're gonna feel so much better than this person phoning or emailing. Just get on it. Deal with it. Grow up.
Don't put things off. Get to the work.
Have you noticed as I get older, I'm getting more
and harder,
ferocity
and harder
of intent?
On me too.
Right.
Really, really hard on me. I mean, this is a social skill. You need to lighten up a little bit.
Tighten up and lighten up.
Tighten up is good.
Yeah.
Right. I like that one. Tighten up. So all in all, what is the major final point that you want to state about social skills?
Use them.
And where do we get the use them aspect? How do we develop social skills? What about someone who's an adult right now who doesn't understand how to ask someone, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? Or can I get you a glass of water? How do you approach somebody in that situation who doesn't have the social skill?
Well, you remember you talked about the platinum rule?
Yes.
Okay, explain. What's your platinum rule?
Well, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
But the platinum rule is do unto others as they would want to have done to them. In other words, let's say that I'm tailgating a guy.
Which you do.
All the time.
It drives me mad.
That's because I don't mind being tailgated.
I can't believe that.
I don't mind it at all. You can come right up and kiss my butt and it doesn't bother me. I'll just turn the mirror down. Hello? You know, wake up, I'm moving forward, I'm not looking behind. But I've discovered that not everybody likes to be tailgated.
Yeah, you've discovered
though,
it all right.
So what I learned is that just because I don't mind it, which is the golden rule, sometimes you'll find that what you like or don't mind is not always true for everybody else.
Exactly.
And so you have to go beyond the golden rule and think of the platinum rule. And that platinum rule is acknowledging that person is an individual, making them stand out. And like, for example, when you buy a present, you don't necessarily buy something that you yourself would like. Maybe you won't like what you
right.
will buy for them because mm-hmm. that's what they mm-hmm. like.
Remember that, will you?
Being courteous to people is where you can start, right?
Right.
And acknowledging people.
And being kind.
Paying attention to people.
Mm. Yes.
Saying something sweet and nice.
And also, too, when you walk by saying, hi, how are you? And you walk away. Don't say how are you unless you're really willing to listen to the answer.
Right.
Right.
So if we have and display better social skills, it's going to make the world a better place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good. Okay, so let's break away from that pleasant thought, and we will end with your final words of the session.
My final words are by Napoleon Hill. He says that one of his greatest leaders who ever lived stated the secret of his leadership in six words. Kindness is more powerful than compulsion.